I want to do a little bit just as we start out this morning, because I really think God's at work in people's lives and doing some cool things. We had a great time at youth camp last week, and I want some of the young people to share that with you. But also, I know here, you guys watched a video called Others, and I've been hearing some feedback from that. So if God touched you at camp last week and you want to come share that with us, or if you know that message last week really compelled you, and really, I just would like us to just talk about that for a few minutes. And I want, just because I think sometimes when we hear great things, right, like when we hear about reaching out, touching others, because this was really, we didn't plan it this way. I planned the video because I thought it was such an awesome video. We watched it 5 years ago. Nobody hardly remembered it, so that's cool, because sometimes we need to be reminded, right? I just thought everybody forgot what I said, but they forget what everybody said. No, but realistically, it was powerful. Right? But sometimes we need to speak out those things because it settles it in our own heart and gives us some accountability beyond the idea of just saying, yeah, that was good. Right? Because it's not good enough to be good. It has to impact and result in a change in how we live. So whoever, we just take this time right now. So I don't want to drag this out big time. But if you have a testimony, I want you to come up and share it. Now, keep it brief, okay? Okay, so it's really brief. Okay, here we go. I was just heading for my Bible. Okay, there's Mike.
Well, me and Jeff are supposed to go as a couple, but... Well, it was a little bit different going to camp this year. We were going, a lot of us were going as leaders rather than going as this wee little ones. But it's still, you got to go expect God to do some major things. And it was really good. Was it Matt?
Matt.
Matt had some really good messages planned for us, and God really spoke me through the first one, really. He was talking about... What was the first? I can't. I know what it says, but I can't remember which one.
Salvation.
No, it wasn't. It was a question. It was the most important question in the Bible, and it was Jesus asking his disciples who people say that I am, and they're saying all this stuff like the John the Baptist, blah blah blah, and then Peter said, "No, you're Jesus. You're the Son of God." And then that was a major thing he had. He said Jesus is asking us, "Who do we say that he is? Like, who are we portraying as Jesus of the world?" So that was one of the major things that just hit me and said, wow. Yeah. But yeah.
Just stay here for a second. Logan and Levi, why don't you come up and stand beside Joel for a sec? Just quickly. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. I just want to make a point. Just come and stand. Stand up. Joel, stand up straight. As straight as you can.
I'm still a wee one. Okay,
so here's the wee one. It's okay, Joel. It's cool. Sorry, Joel. He is mighty. He's awesome. We love him. Stand up. I'm sitting down. You stand up. It's on. Go ahead.
Hello.
Oh.
Well, like Joel said, this year wasn't the same as it normally is at camp for me, because we were going as leaders, and kind of when you're a leader, the fact is you're supposed to, by that time, kind of have your life together. So, you know, I've been working on that. You know, had some up and downs this year, but just felt a lot better going in. So there wasn't that big, you know, that life-changing moment where I had to go up to the altar and confess all my sins for the past year. But I know it was just it's more of an eye-opener. Just you know, people, younger kids and stuff, look up to you, not necessarily shorter kids, but younger kids, they look up to you. And just trying to make sure that, you know, you're leading in the right place and not just leading them to a mundane kind of boring Christianity, which for a lot of my life I was wondering it's so boring being a Christian. I can't go do all this stuff that other people can do. But then you realize, like, when you start walking in the Spirit and realizing, you know, God's telling you to go witness to people, and you're sitting there squirming the whole time, walking down the street, and like, no, man, that's not God. That's my flesh. My flesh is telling me to go witness to
go
those
do
people.
For Jesus. Yeah,
so, you know. So, yeah, it's not a dull moment anymore, I'll tell you that much. So, yeah, it's really exciting to see what God's doing in our church and in our youth. So, yeah.
Praise you, Lord.
We're creating a queue line here. I wanted to be next. Yeah, like Joel and Jeff said, Matt was amazing. He came out from Halifax, and he had a lot of really cool things to say. What was awesome was Friday night, he started bang off with salvation. Usually, in earlier years at camp, Friday night was kind of a warm-up thing, you know, warm-up all through the day till Saturday night, and then Saturday night was the big night. And then we had testimony time on Sunday, but Matt started off right with a bang on Friday, and it was absolutely amazing to see. And he spent Saturday night talking about basically challenging us to get outside ourselves and to, you know, just realize that there is an entire world out there, an entire generation that has been taken. And he actually used a clip from the movie Taken with Liam Neeson talking about, you know, I have a special set of skills, and if you let my daughter go, you know, nothing's going to happen. But if you don't, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. And it's kind of an intense moment in that movie for those of you who have seen it. But it was just kind of a wake-up call for us to realize that there are people out there who have been taken by a lot of things, that we have skills that God has given us to go out and to help those people. Right. And I was just realizing, and God kind of spoke to me when I was reading my Bible earlier that day. I was reading in 1 Samuel right at the beginning, and it talks about the story of Hannah. And for those of you who don't know Hannah, Hannah was Samuel's mom. But she was desperately crying out for God. She was desperate to have a baby, and it wasn't happening, And then finally she said, you know what, God, I will do anything you want, but I want to have a baby, and I will give him back to you, but just please, you know, please give me this desire. And God did. He gave her a son, and that was Samuel. And when he was about, I figured about 2 or 3, she took him right back to the temple and presented him and dedicated him to God and gave him up, which is an absolutely amazing thing to do. But just kind of realizing that, you know, we all ask and we pray for opportunities to speak into people's lives, but are we holding up our end of the bargain? Are we keeping ourselves, you know, prepped and ready for when those opportunities come? So praying and being open and ready for those opportunities is important, but we also need to have ourselves prepared, spending time with God every day and making sure that when that opportunity comes, that we are empowered and we have, you know, a strong relationship and a strong connection with God and with the Spirit, so that when that opportunity comes, that we can walk forward into that. Because if not, then, you know, the opportunity comes and passes you by, and kind of like Jeff said, it's like, wait, was that it? Was that when I was supposed to go? So if you don't have that strong connection, and of course none of us are perfect, but we need to make sure that we try and maintain that connection, otherwise that opportunity won't happen. And I actually got a cool opportunity this week to talk to my law professor at school, which was kind of crazy, spending some time with him after class and just kind of discussing Christianity in a way. It was kind of weird, but I was kind of like, all right, God, 3 days after camp and here we go. All right. So it was awesome. And it's great to see even just the passion here this morning. And Jeff, you were fantastic this morning. I mean, I could just, the whole service from start to finish was awesome. Just the presence of God pumping. So, well, I know it's not finished, but the worship part anyway. So, yeah, it was awesome. So I just encourage you guys to keep that going, all of us. So yeah, there you go.
On Friday night, 6 people gave their life to Christ. Cool. Awesome. Go ahead, Renee.
So, it was a weekend of miracles. My cabin won cleanest cabin. Which would shock my mother.
That'd be a miracle.
But, to be honest, I didn't clean it. They cleaned it for me. So, they really wanted chocolate, so... So see, Mom, that's how you get me to clean my room. I'll give you chocolate. But anyway, so this was actually my first 2 weeks not living at home. So camp was a big thing for me to get to see people and not be lonely. But well, it was my first time getting to have the counselor's bed, which is also a bonus. And there's nobody above you, so that's nice. But I kind of, you know, like most of the girls I've known since they were born, especially Jody. So it was like, what am I going to really bring these girls like that they don't already know? But there was a girl in my cabin. Her name was Alyssa. Not that Alyssa. She was a little shorter. And she actually just really inspired me because of the field I'm going into. I just found a lot of wisdom into what age group I want to work with, but it was just amazing. Like, I was just sitting there, and out of nowhere, she started telling me her life and, like, pouring her life out into me, and it was just, like, it's amazing how when you are willing to listen to someone, the things that they will tell you. And so really all I want to say is I want everybody to keep her in your prayers, because I know that she's in a place where she's pulled between God and other things. So I know that right now God's really tugging on her heart. So if everybody could just pray for her, that would mean a lot to me. So.
Good. Well, unlike Jeff and Joel, I wouldn't consider myself a leader because I was going full out for every game. You know, just got to win, right?
Sure. Johnny lost.
But we did win.
I love you.
I don't know. The weekend was good because the preacher, Matt, he pretty much just calls people, like, called you out and, like, was straight to the point. He didn't beat around the bush. He spoke, like, he had short sermons, but, like, they were effective. And so, yeah, just his message from Saturday night about the movie clip that Alyssa was talking about. Just, like, reaching out to others and stuff, because I know I have a lot of friends that are non-Christians, and it's tough sometimes, and I struggle with that. But, you know, it kind of woke me up a little bit. And, you know, yeah, a lot. And then, I got to start reaching out to them more instead of just sitting back being apathetic, like you said in the sermon. And then Ralph, you know, during that sermon, you know, he brought out the old school story about going out to youth camp at the age of 17. And, you know, he's just like, I don't know, called me out in a way. Like, I was just, like, he's like, I know there's one person here who might need to hear this. And then, sure enough, I think that was me. So, you know, so that was good. And then Jeff, you know, he's just a good example, like, good influence in my life. Yeah. And, like, even today, like, just inspires the whole church. Like, I don't know how anyone would not be influenced by that today, because, you know, like, I struggle with times, but, like, when I hang out with Jeff, it's just, like, keeps me on the right foot. So I'm proud of Jeff because, you know, he stays strong. Sorry to center you out there, but, so yeah, I guess that's it.
All right. That was awesome. I guess, like what Johnny was talking about, it's one of the things I've been praying about is God, like, let me become more effective at word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And God really spoke to me at camp that, there was, you know, that old story I told, that I should tell that story about going to camp and really being in that place where I said, God, I can't live this way anymore. I got to either go for you or I'm going to walk. And God really spoke to me that there was, like, for sure one, but probably two or three people there that day that had prayed that same prayer, maybe not in the same words, that day. And that, and as they were coming to camp, and what we saw was cool, because two people came up to me at camp, and this week during the week, one kid came to me and said, you know what, that was me. And God really helped them to connect again. When we realize that the world really doesn't have anything to offer, like, there's lots of stuff in the world, right? Like, let's be real. There's some fun times, there's some stuff, but long-lasting depth of life is not found in carrying on and craziness and like living for yourself. It's not there, right? It's not there. And God really reached out this weekend and touched people's hearts. So, you know what? Pray for our young people. Pray for our young adults. But also, like, just look at your own life and say, God, what's holding me back from going and reaching out to a world that needs you? The quote from Liam Neeson was like, it's harder when a girl says it, right? But I have a set of skills, a certain set of skills. And if you leave my daughter, I'll leave you alone. But if you don't, I will find you. I will hunt you down. I will find you. And I will kill you. Right? It's like, duh. But we need to see really seriously that this generation has been taken. I really believe so strongly in this fact. I don't know where we are in the calendar as far as Christ's return goes, right? So I'm leery to say anything about this because there's just been so many quacks around these past bunch of years just throwing out dates and stuff like that. But I'm looking around me at the world today and so much has happened. So many things are in place. We're looking now at Israel and Iran and all these things. We're living in a very, very volatile time. If it's not Jesus' return, it's at least a time where people need to hear the gospel. People need to know Jesus. People need to know that this is an emergency. This is not like, let's wait and see what happened. Let's wait and see. Let's just put it off for another day, because people have to get to know Jesus. It's so important. So important. We're living in a time, right, where economies are a mess. We're living in a time where people are scared. We're living in a time where there's not a lot of hope in this world. But we have hope. We have Jesus. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And we need to be aware. I mean, we grew up in a home where every morning we woke, you know, my dad would look at the sky and say, is this the day? I was just reading an old novel about, you know, the early church, and they would wake up every day and say, is this the time? And, you know, we don't know the day or the hour. But if we think in the least bit that we could be getting close, we have a mandate that's so strong. Romans, Paul said, I am a debtor. I am a debtor. Both to Jew and to Greek, to barbarian and free. This message that we carry, we are debtors, people. We owe it to the world to tell them about Jesus. We owe that to them. There is a time of Jubilee coming, right, where young and old will turn to Jesus. But I think this is the time. I really believe this is the time, but we got to speak out. We got to share. We got to pour out the love of God, the power of God in this world. So we're going to continue this morning with our series, More Power, because we need to understand the power that we have, right? I think if I already told this, it's kind of a stupid old joke, but it gets the point across. This guy bought a chainsaw, and he was going to, you know, he's living in the bush, going to cut down some firewood for his house to warm it up. And he keeps it for a while, and he says to his wife, this thing just isn't much good. It seems like harder work than what it was cutting with a handsaw. He said, I don't, like, axe is easier than this. This is, like, stupid. Whoever came up with this idea was dumb. So he packs it in his truck, and he heads to the store, and he says to the sales guy, like, this thing's a piece of junk. It weighs a lot. It's hard to use. I don't get it. So the guy goes, well, let me see it. So he looks it over, flicks the switch on, pulls the ripcord, and thing fires up, and the old guy's going like, well, what's that noise? Right? Because there was power available, but he didn't realize the power was there. He's like with the tree going like this, and the chain's going, zit, 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 you know, not even moving. But we, so many times as Christians, live our life in that way. We have more power. So we've talked about a lot of things, but this morning, I don't know about you, but there's the subject this morning that I want to talk about is the subject of prayer. Prayer is so important. We like Johnny here, is a good man. I love him and his brother. And I love these guys so much because if you know them, they come in a room, they're happy, they're go-lucky, they smile, they're easy. They make people feel good when they're around them. They're funny guys. Like, they're just really solid, good guys. But I know that Johnny has been struggling in his walk with the Lord for a few years. And we've talked many times. But I've been praying for Johnny for 3 years, you know, really strong. And I know Jeff has too, and maybe some other people. But I know where he was at, and I know, you know, that we've been praying and trusting God. And God has a way of finding out and figuring out how to reach out to people and touch them. And this past weekend, Johnny made a fresh commitment of his life to Christ. I'm sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Are you okay? Don't run out, okay? But seriously, prayer changes things. Robert Morris tells this story. Those of you who remember Robert Morris, he did the, we just did a series with him called The God I Never Knew, right? Anyway, he's great, great pastor, teacher guy. He tells a story about how his family came to Christ. His grandfather had worked on a road crew with a guy named Ray. And Ray was a Christian. And Ray, what they did is they filled potholes together. They just went around down the road. You see those, you know, county trucks, and they go around, they shovel a couple of shovels full of tar. They step on it, sprays up all over our cars when we drive over it. That's what they did. But while they were working, Ray kept sharing Jesus with Robert's grandfather, right? And one day Robert's grandfather says, well, you know, you've been talking a lot about this. I really like to hear more. I'd like to be able to sit down and hear the whole story. So he said, well, Ray said, why don't you come to my house tonight and we'll sit and we'll talk. So he said, that'd be great. So Robert's father had just turned 16 then, just got his license. And his dad was going out for the night. And he said, Dad, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going over to talk to this man from work. And he said, well, could I come with? Yeah, you could drive, yeah, but you got to sit outside. You can't come in. We're going to go inside and talk. You got to stay outside. Oh, that's fine. Just wanted to drive. So they went and drove over to Ray's house. And Ray sat in the house while Robert's dad sat out on the front step. And it was summer. It was hot. They had the screen door open. And he was sitting outside while Ray was explaining to his father about salvation. And after he had explained everything, he said, would you like to know Jesus? Would you like to commit your life to Christ? He says, well, no, I'm not ready to do that quite yet. So he said, well, if you ever decide, this is the prayer that you should pray. So he prayed this prayer, and just to tell him. But while he was inside praying the prayer, Robert's father was out on the front step giving his life to Christ. Right? So Robert Morris's father gave his life to Jesus, and his life was changed, and he became a businessman, and he raised Robert to serve God. Robert pastors a large church now in Texas. And anyway, when Robert got older and started going into ministry, he got concerned for his grandfather. So he went and talked to his grandfather at a family reunion and said, so, like, I want to tell you about Jesus. So he explained it all, and he said, Grandpa, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? He says, you know what? A guy told me about this 40 years ago, and I always regret that I never gave my life to Christ that day. So that day, he gave his life to Jesus. 3 years later, his grandfather passed on, and Robert felt, well, I really would like to try and get a hold of this Ray guy to find out, or to let him know that, you know, what he had done while he was working on the road crew was important. So he called him up, and he says, do you remember Joe Morris? He said, yeah, I remember him. In fact, I pray for him every day. Right? He said, really? Well, I'm calling to tell you that Joe gave his life to Jesus. He said, well, that's amazing. He said, because I've written Joe's name. Every man that I've ever told about Jesus, I've wrote his name down in the back of my Bible. And every day I pray for that man, those men. And he said, Joe was the only one left that I didn't have a check mark beside. You know? And he prayed, and he prayed. Last weekend, right, at Robert Morris's church, 1,200 people gave their life to Christ. Right? 1,200 people gave their life to Christ because one man, right, who worked on a road crew filling potholes, was willing to share his faith with someone and pray for them until he saw a harvest. Prayer is powerful because one man was faithful even while he was doing what most of us would assume was a mundane job. God uses him weekly now to lead people to Jesus. We need to become people of prayer. Now, I don't know about you, but like prayer for me, I don't know, like my head is just like this all the time. So whenever I pray, I get all these, you know, I'm better now. I've sort of figured it out. But for many years, you know, like I'd be praying and I'd be like, so how do I do this again? Do I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus? It says that, but what about the Holy Spirit? Do I pray Holy Spirit? What do I, you know, what do I do? And like, do I pray once and then just believe in faith, or do I pray many times? Should I bug God about it? If I bug him about it, will it be better? Like, what about praying in the Spirit? Because like, I pray in the Spirit a lot. But sometimes I feel like if I just pray in the Spirit, I'm being kind of lazy because I'm not really using my mind. I'm just, you know, like, I don't know. Anybody ever else feel like that? I got a million questions, right? Like, well, I'm just like, oh, God, I don't know how, right? Because I want my prayers to be effective, right? I want them to make a difference. And there's been so many times I've had all these questions and wonderings and doubts, but so many times it's the trap of the devil, right? To make us just like all the time question, 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 think, and then make us move into inaction so that we will not pray, right? So today I just want to give you a few things that I've learned about prayer, right? And then we'll see what God does. I really believe that God really wants to touch us as a people to be a people of prayer. You know, we spend time every Sunday morning praying in the prayer room. About 7 or 8 of us get together at 9:15 and we pray for 15 or 20 minutes and trust, you know, that God will do something good in the service. I'd love to see a lot more people come in and pray. Tuesday mornings, generally we meet together at 9 o'clock and we pray till 10 for the needs that we see represented in the church, and we pray that God will do great things. Again, there's usually 4 or 5, sometimes 6 of us will get together and pray, and we've seen God do some really, really cool things. Really cool things. But I think, you know, like we need to become more of a people of prayer, and I know a lot of you pray at home, and that's great. Keep praying. But we just need to understand why we pray and what happens when we pray. So I just want to recap with that in mind what we talked about last time I talked a little bit. So here's the first thing we have to understand. If we're going to pray and we're going to know that God's going to do something through us, God, number one, has deposited his power in us. The power of God lives in us. I remember when Lorraine gave her testimony a few weeks back. She said the scripture that she was standing on was, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, will it not quicken your mortal body? Because that's a fact of life. We have the Spirit of God living in us. He has deposited his Spirit in us. And not just so we could feel good. It's not just to feel good for us. It's not just like, oh, I got Jesus and you don't. It's not that, right? It's about he has a purpose for that. Why is it important for us to know that? Why do we need to know that he has deposited his power and his Spirit within us? Why does it even matter? Why do we care? Well, because we need to understand why. We do need to understand why. So the reason, if you remember, a couple weeks ago, I made this statement. I said, a limitless God, the limitless God, is limited by us. To be more technically correct, he limited himself to work through mankind. We don't control God, but God chose to work through mankind on this earth. He gave us authority here. He gave us dominion over the earth. He's made us the rulers of this world, right? Of this planet, we have rulership. For God to work in this planet, he chooses to work through mankind. For the devil to work in this planet, he has to work through mankind. We have legal right and legal authority in this earth. It's technical, but it's important. We have to understand this. When God created earth, he gave mankind dominion over the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and on, it says, and God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. He created them male and female, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it, the fish of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, all the animals that move upon the earth. God said, behold, I have given you every herb, seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree seeding seed, to you it shall be for food. and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the heavens, and to every creeper on the earth, which has its in it a living soul. Every green plant is for food, and it was so. So God said to mankind, you have dominion. You have authority. You subdue it. You do your thing. You prepare. You set it up. So dominion of the earth was given to man. And he became the one with the legal authority to operate here. So you have authority in this earth, right? For God to move, he chooses to move through you. So in order to work in the earth, God chose to work through you. In order, again, for Satan to work in the earth, he has to work through mankind. That's why Jesus came as a man to the earth. Because it was a man that had a legal right. And it was a man that had God had to work through. And he chose Jesus. Jesus came as a man. And he conquered and destroyed the works of darkness. We also know that, you know, in the last days, when the Antichrist comes, that he has to work through a man. Right? It'll be a man. It'll be a living person. It just won't be a... So it's really important for us to understand that part. That we have the legal right and authority to work in this earth and to do God's work in this earth or to do the devil's work in this earth. Right? We have that legal right and authority. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 23, and then into verse 30, the Bible says this, and the word of Jehovah came to me saying, so this was coming to Ezekiel, this was a time when the temple was in destruction. This is a time where the priests were living horribly. This is a time where the nation was not serving God. This was a bad and dark time in the history of Israel. Which, if we look at our nation today, this is a bad and a dark time in our nation. And God said to Ezekiel this, I sought for a man among them who should wall up a wall for the land. We know this scripture. The old way is I look for a man to stand in the gap, to make up a hedge. What God was really saying is I've set things in place, right, that if man lives for me, I'll bless him. But if man chooses to be disobedient and live in sin, then wrath will come. But he didn't want to send wrath. He wanted a man to stand in the gap, and make up the hedge, to wall up a wall, and stand in the break before me, that I should not destroy it. But I did not find one. So if God was looking around the earth today, and he was looking for someone to stand in the gap, which he is, and if he's looking for someone to make up a hedge today, which he is, would he look at you and find what he wanted and needed in you? Would he find a heart that's willing, a heart that's open, a heart that is to serve him and not to serve other things? Would he find that? If God is searching, would he be able to find you ready? So it's important then that we have the power of God deposited within us. Because we really are the distributor of the power of God upon this earth. We are the distributors. We are his agents in this earth. I know this is all kind of technical. It's all kind of legal. It's like watching, I don't know, except not as entertaining maybe as one of the legal shows. But it's really important for us to understand. So God needs to work through us because that is what he set up in the beginning. That is what he has limited himself to until the end of the age. And he comes in power in this earth and he conquers death and hell. And he sets up his kingdom here in the earth again. He already conquered death and hell. But anyway, you know, there's a time where this is going to end, where he's going to rule again on the earth, right? Right now, though, he rules through us. That's why Jesus said, right, when the disciples asked him, how do we pray? He said, pray that my kingdom will come, that my will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Because that's the deal. We have to distribute the power. God has deposited his power within you so that you can accomplish his will on the earth as his agent. Right? So God needs to use a human, right? And he chose to use you when you gave your heart to Jesus, and that's what he did. So last time I looked at the scripture, and I want to look at it again, because this is, I want to reiterate again what we talked about, because this is an important, important scripture. It's found in Ephesians 3, verse 15 to 21. For this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Right? So he's got all this investment in you. He's pouring it into you so you could be strengthened inside to live the kind of life Jeff was talking about, a life separated to God, a life filled with his Spirit, a life that says no to the world and I'm going to follow Jesus, that kind of life, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Really important for us to understand that we need to be grounded in love. We got to be grounded in that, because if we're going to be distributors of God's power, we also have to be representatives of his nature. Right? We like, how many people have gone off the rails because they thought the power was for them to accumulate, to have power over other people, to do all these things? It wasn't for that. It was to have the love of God and the nature of God working in us, so when we distribute that power, it would reflect the love of God to a world that so desperately needs him. Important. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, that you would be filled, that that would be deposited into you. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Awesome. If the scripture verse would have just said, now to him that's able to do everything that you ask or think, awesome verse. Awesome. Right? But because the nature of the Holy Spirit, this scripture, when you think about how the Holy Spirit inspired this, it's an amazing verse, right? Because this wasn't meant to reflect our nature, right? If we just say that he's able to do everything we ask or think, it's a very limited thing. I think of some people that have dreams, you know, of God doing amazing things for them. Like I think about James Robeson and Peter Pretorius, right? That Peter got dropped off in a feeding station in Africa. He was told by one of his friends he should check it out. Maybe he could help. He was dropped off in Africa at this feeding station, and the pilot said, well, I got to go fuel up. I'm going to be back in a couple hours, right? But a couple hours turned into a week, and there was no food at the feeding station. And Peter Pretorius was like burying people. He was holding people in their arms as they starved, in his arms as they starved to death. And God spoke to his heart that he needed to do something, right? Well, if I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, well, maybe I could help 100 people or 200 people. That would be amazing. That would be great. But today, that organization feeds over 600,000 people every day. Because God isn't only able to do what we think or what we ask, because the nature and the power of God is so much greater than that. So the Holy Spirit said, well, you know, he could do above what you could ask or think. Like, how do you even do that? Like, how do you be that big? How do you, like, God is so big. But the Holy Spirit was like, no, this isn't enough. This isn't really describing the amazingness of God. He said he could do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you could ever ask and what you could ever think. Well, I'm asking right now, this is what I'm asking. I'm asking for this town to come to Jesus. I can't see it, honestly. I can't. I've lived here my whole life. I know the way it is. I know the way people put you off. I've knocked every door in this stinking town many times. But people respond, oh, I go to church. And I'm like, in my mind, I can't see it. But my God, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I could ask or think, that power is deposited in me, and it's deposited in you. And it's not just there so we could be Oh, you know, I love the old Superman. Remember Superman? Clark Kent, big glasses, right? Suit, boring looking guy. But keep that man away from a telephone booth, right? Keep him away from a telephone booth, because when he hit that telephone booth, he became Superman, right? Well, we've been kept away from the telephone booth too long. We've been kept away from being that person that God wants to pour his power through for too long. And God wants to pour his spirit out on you. He wants to work through you, through each one. If you're bored as your Christianity right now, read this verse every day. Think about the implications of this verse exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. But let's be real. It hasn't happened that often, has it? Like, honestly, have you seen it? We talked about this, right? Because we're waiting on God all the time. We're always waiting on God. But the Bible goes on to say in that verse, according to the power that's at work in you. What is that power that's at work in you? Where did it come from? How do you get it? Well, let's read. Let's read what the Bible says. Ultimately, that's what matters, right? But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. In Luke chapter 24, 49, it says, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you. So the power of the Holy Spirit is promised to us. When we serve Jesus, when we come to him, his power is promised. I got to move along here. The word according, right? According to the power that works in you, it's a word that denotes distribution and intensity, right? It's a measure kind of word, and it's a measuring out kind of word. That's the feeling of the word, which gives the idea that the power that is already at work in you is to be distributed by you in whatever measure and intensity is needed in the situation. Right? It's about you releasing the power of God into situations. It's about you already releasing what God has put in you. Last time I talked about, it's like you get in the shower in the morning, and you know, right, that there's going to be hot water. At least you hope. I've had a couple mornings where the hot water never came, and we had to get the hot water thing fixed. But like, you turn it on, and our builder, I always kind of, I don't curse him, but I kind of get a little ticked off with him, because he put our hot water heater at the other end of the house. So you put it on, and it's like, woo-hoo. And you wait, 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 right? Well, I don't turn it on, put my hand in there, and go, well, it's cold, it's no power. No heat. I'm shut it off. I'm not having a shower today. I wait, right? I wait for the heat to come, and the power keeps flowing, and the water keeps flowing. And that's the same in our life. So many times we pray a prayer and we say, "Well, it didn't work," right? And we don't continue to believe God. We don't continue to trust God. We don't continue. And there's so many scriptures in the Bible where it talks. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and it was released in the heavenlies already the first day, but it took 21 days to come, and Daniel prayed it through. There's so many scriptures like that in the Bible where it's just pray, continue praying, continue believing, continue trusting. But so many times we shut the water off and we stop believing and trusting because we didn't get hot water right away. And we need to keep believing and trusting God that God's going to bring it to pass. The Bible, when Jesus went to the temple, and they were praying, it was for the feast of, I forget what feast it was, but Jesus, they prayed for 7 days that living water would flow, because in the Old Testament, there was a time when Moses hit the rock, and living water flowed from the rock, and there was a prophecy that said that one day living water would flow again out of Jerusalem, right? And they prayed for 7 days, and this was the ritual. They would pray for 7 days for the living water, and then on the eighth day, they pray for rain, because they thought, well, if living water isn't going to flow, we should pray for rain, right? So they prayed, And it was the end of the seventh day, and Jesus presented himself in the temple, and he said, I'm the living water. If you come to me, you'll never thirst again. Right? But then he goes on to say later in his life that one day rivers of living water would flow out of your belly. Right? This is the truth, that these rivers, right, this power of God needs to flow out of you to those around you. But we got to be persistent and pray it through and carry it through. Here's the second thing. Is that God has done all that needs to be done through the work of the cross. So the power has been deposited in us. And the work is finished. That God has done all that he needs to do through the power of the cross. It's such an important fact. The work is complete. There's no further price to pay. There's no more needed because of the Son of the Living God, the Star Breather, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior, gave his life on that old rugged cross, and he paid the price forever. When he was done, he said, it is finished. It is finished. John 19, verse 30 says, and Jesus had taken the vinegar. He said, it's finished. And then he bowed his head and died. In John 19, verse 30, again, in the contemporary English version, it says, after Jesus drank the wine, he said, everything is done. Everything is done. The price has been paid. It's finished. Jesus will never go back to the cross again. Jesus will never be spit on again. Jesus will never have a crown of thorns crushed into his head. He'll never be beaten and whipped again so that he could pay a bigger price and get more done. The work is finished. It's done. It's finished. My papers are sticking together. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what we could ask or think. In other words, everything that we need to carry out his will and bring his kingdom to bear on the kingdoms of this world is available in unlimited supply, a supply that could never be exhausted by what our human mind and imagination could ever ask. I'm going to leave it there because we're getting late. Just go on and start reading through some of these scriptures that we read this morning. Think about them. Meditate on them. Read the Lord's Prayer this week, and we'll pick it up again next week. Lord, we come to you, and we thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Lord, thank you that you chose us as humans, Lord, to carry your message, Lord. I just pray today, Lord, even as, Lord, you've just put such a big word out here in the church this morning about others, Lord, that you will give each one of us opportunities, Lord, and that we will see the opportunities this week and that we will respond to them. Lord, we just pray again for Gord. Lord, we thank you that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in him, and if it is, then it'll quicken his mortal body. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, cells that are mutated, Lord, to come back into their natural state. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would just pour your life, God, that his life would intersect with your life, the life of God. And, Lord, that life in you would drive out all sickness, all disease, all cancer, everything, Lord, that would, Lord, seek to destroy him and his call. And Lord, we just agree today. Lord, we say in Jesus' name, Gord, be healed. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for that promise that you said that we could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. So Lord, we as a church today say amen to that, to your word. Lord, I just pray as we go, Lord, that we'd realize that Canada, Lord, is an ungodly country, and you've called us to be missionaries here, that this world, this nation even, is not our home, but God, you've called us here as your representatives. Lord, we just pray that your kingdom will come here, Lord, in our towns, Lord, where we each live, Lord, and, you know, Dunville and Waynefleet and Smithville and Cayuga, Lord, and Canfield and, Lord, Fond Hill and, Lord, you know, Fenwick or, Lord, Jarvis or, Lord, all the different places where we reside, God, we thank you that your kingdom goes with us. Lord, and that your kingdom grows this week. I ask this in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. Amen. So God's good, right? If you do need prayer for anything, just grab someone around you. We have that power, is that work in us. And let's just distribute some power this morning, okay?